This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Saturday Magazine, sponsored by Velocity Rewards,
the award-winning loyalty program for Virgin Australia's frequent flyers.
Hey, you. Yeah, you, in the car. Did you know that over half of the people who listen to Joy are allies of the LGBTIQ plus community, just like you? So you may not be aware, but times are really tough financially at Joy, and we're reaching out for your support. So tell your siblings, your workmates, heck, even wind down your window and tell someone else stuck in the traffic to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
This is Saturday Magazine.
Saturday Magazine, Joy 94.9, Macca and Tass. Our last little chat today is going to be with Marina Carman. Marina is the Director of Rainbow Health Victoria. And you join us on the line, Marina. Good morning. How are you?
Yes. I'm great. Thanks.
Look,
Marina, it's great to have you on the airwaves.
We've
had many conversations with your predecessor.
Liam Leonard,
Liam Leonard.
So absolutely.
It's great to know. Great to have you here with us this morning.
Yeah, so welcome to the to your role at Rainbow Health. And look, we're interested in, Marina, in talking about the impact, COVID-19, the impacts on our LGBTI communities, and also on the impact on service health services that our communities access and will need to access. Give us a bit of a download there.
So we're sort of concerned, particularly in wanting to make people aware of three potential impacts. One is just that there are existing health disparities for LGBTIQ communities, particularly perhaps in terms of underlying conditions that might be relevant to COVID-19 outcomes, like risk for certain cancers, obesity, cardiovascular disease and smoking, that can be higher within LGBTIQ communities. The second thing is really about mental health, which is an issue already for LGBTIQ communities, and just concerns about how that might get worse as, you know, all of us are struggling with some of the impacts of the current situation. The other is issues around family violence, where particularly perhaps relationships might be under stress, or young people might be living with families that aren't supportive of their identities. And the third thing is really around how potentially existing social and economic inequality might be made worse in the sort of economic crisis that has accompanied the public health crisis of COVID-19.
Marina, none of these points are actually specific to LGBTI communities. I mean, you could apply the same sort of blowtorch on each of those issues for any member of our community, really, couldn't you?
That's right. And I think the point at the moment is that everybody is struggling in one way or another. No one will be untouched by the sort of health and economic impacts of COVID-19. But there are specific ways in which LGBTIQ communities may be more impacted. So we think it's important that people are aware of that, that policymakers are aware of that, and also that services are aware of that. We also know that there are particular barriers for LGBTIQ communities accessing health services and community services, and particularly fears about them accessing acute care, particularly for trans and gender diverse people. So I think not only in terms of how it might impact people, but how people might search for help in the current situation, we think there are specific issues that are relevant to LGBTIQ people.
Marina, are you getting any feedback from the community? Are people actually giving you a sense of how this is impacting on members of our community?
We've mostly been speaking to services, and there's a really increased demand, not only from LGBTIQ community services themselves, but also a whole range of mainstream services that have really made an effort to reach out to LGBTIQ communities and you know, do the hard work to become LGBTIQ inclusive. And they are really finding that there is an increased demand, that people are quite worried about how things might progress in the future, not only in terms of health, but in terms of other social and economic issues. So we know that things are difficult out there, and also that people are, you know, wanting support in an ongoing way as things move forward into the future.
I want to ask you, Marina, we've seen one of the great things that's actually coronavirus has allowed to happen is telehealth. And, you know, it's been talked about for, it seems, an eternity. I think they were talking about it when the blood bank started talking about changing donation rules for gay men. But telehealth is now a reality for an awful lot of doctors and medical practitioners and for patients. That's going to make a huge difference, isn't it? A huge difference, you know, with our community and with people in remote locations, assuming they can get a digital connection.
Yeah, I think from what I understand, some people are finding that it does make it easier to access services, and some people prefer accessing services in that way. But it can also be a bit of barrier. I know from a lot of people that work in the mental health field, sometimes people use it as a way of avoiding accessing services. Sort of saying, no, I'll just wait until we get back to a face-to-face situation. So I think it can be a facilitator, but it can actually be a bit of a barrier as well. So it's not really clear how that's going to play out, but I think it will be very interesting to see.
Do we have a handle, Marina, in terms of the amount of telehealth consultations are happening? Do you have any handle on that at the moment, or is it too early to actually know?
Oh, look, it's too early to know in a sense. I mean, a lot of GPs have obviously moved towards that. A lot of the community controlled services, Switchboard, for instance, that's been servicing the community for years, obviously has not skipped a beat. They're still delivering services. A range of other community services have moved very quickly to an online and remote delivery, sometimes through telehealth, sometimes not. So I think people have really responded quite rapidly, and we're really heartened, I suppose, in Victoria to see that the options and the capacity that there is to provide services in a really responsive way in an emergency situation.
So my understanding is that the take-up rates have been enormous. The take-up rate has been extraordinary in the last month. What has changed is not the technology. The technology is exactly the same. The technology has always existed. What has changed is it is now possible for a clinician to provide some services using non-face-to-face technology, whether it be using a telephone or whether it be using, you know, some sort of audio-visual platform like Skype or Zoom or FaceTime. So Mac is telling me the time's out. Marina, I'm sorry, we need to actually wrap up. I'm rabbiting on. We would like to get you back on at some point in the future to talk a bit more about the work that you're doing. We haven't talked at all about that today, and to talk about where Rainbow Health is going over the next couple of years. So thank you very much for your time, Marina. We look forward to having you in the studio once all this is over for a longer conversation.
We do. Thanks very much.
That sounds great. Thank you.
Saturday Magazine on Joy 94.9, proudly sponsored by Virgin Australia. Visit virginaustralia.com.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.